Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. Beautiful job. I was talking to Miss Tracy just before the during the offering time, and she shared a statistic with me. First of all, she mentioned one thing that she spoke. The director actually called her today, and we're going to see what we can do about this. And said that they only have one bus and one driver because it's on the weekend, so they can only transport 45 of the veterans. So we're hoping, I know several of you guys drive buses and stuff, if you're able to, we don't have the details yet. We're hoping to find out tomorrow if we're able to provide a bus and go help pick up the rest of them, or two if we need to. We're hoping to find out about that. If you're able to do that, let me know. And but like I said, we'll know for certain tomorrow when Tracy talks to the director. They're down close to Wayne State University, so it's not too far. We'd like to get them here if we can. She also gave me a statistic, which is really a humbling statistic. In our country, 6%, Tracy, 6.8% of our population is veterans. And here's a staggering statistic of that, though. 35% of that, 6.8% of our population, is homeless. Wow, 35% of that. So it kind of puts it in perspective, and that's our veterans. So we're hoping to be able to love on them here in just about a week and a half. So be praying about that. If you'd like to get involved more, let us know. We'd love to have you be involved. So anyway, all right, Ruth chapter 3. The book of Ruth chapter 3. We've been going through the study of Ruth for some time now. Been out of it for a few couple weeks. But we come now to chapter 3. This is a tremendous story in the Word of God, because really it not only is a story of a young lady who's surrounded by mercy. She absolutely is surrounded by mercy and grace in her life. She's a young lady who by her own birth was born in Moab. She was a Moabite girl. There was a famine. Of course, in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and because of that, Naomi and her husband, you remember the story, just to sum up a little bit, refresh our memory, it's been a while, Elimelech and Naomi, they go down to Moab, but they were going to just stay there for a little while. The Bible said they were going to go sojourn with their two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, but they ended up staying there for 10 years. Sadly, the two boys passed away. Naomi's husband dies, so she's a widow. Her two boys die while they were in that 10-year stint in Moab. But those boys had married Moabite wives. And we come now, Naomi has, of course, returned. She had heard in chapter 1 how the Lord had visited his people. So Naomi, which was of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, Naomi returns, and she returns with one of her daughter-in-laws, which by the name of Ruth. Ruth is a beautiful picture of a lost sinner in need of redemption. We've also talked about how the law of God allowed the widows and those strangers, and they allowed them to reap in the field as far as pick up the portions that were dropped. The law allowed them to do that. And when we left our story, the last time in the book of Ruth, we found that Ruth now has landed in the field in chapter 2. She lands in the field belonging to Boaz. And Boaz extends kindness to her. He extends grace to her. He even tells her that she is, she's come to trust under the wings of God of heaven, Jehovah God. And so Boaz begins to give her instruction. He tells her to stay in my fields. Stay in my fields. Don't go anywhere else. Stay in my fields, and which is a beautiful picture. Boaz is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to the end of chapter 2, Naomi begins talking to Ruth. Ruth comes home. She has just a huge, absorbent amount of barley. And Naomi asks her, where did you glean? You know, what fields did you glean in? Of course, Naomi doesn't tell her what fields she gleaned in. She tells her who she met by the name of Boaz. And Naomi, of course, is all excited. And it ends in chapter 2 with Naomi telling Ruth that Boaz, this Boaz fella, was a near kinsman, as we'll look at in just a moment. He's a near kinsman of Naomi. And why is that important? Because if you're a Jewish lady, if your husband passed away and you had someone in your kinfolk, relative, that could be a redeemer. They could redeem property. They could redeem all of which was lost with the husband's dying. And so this individual by the name of Boaz, before this story is over, is going to give us, in my opinion, one of the greatest examples and pictures of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He's our Redeemer. Amen? He bought us back, and that's what redemption means. It means to be bought back, to be bought with a price. So we'll see that in this passage of Scripture. So we've kind of brought us back up now to chapter 3. And if you found your place in honor and reverence, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're talking tonight on preparation for the Redeemer. Preparation for the Redeemer. They're preparing for this redemption to take place. And it's just a beautiful story, and it's really a picture also of a second chance to do the right thing in the life of Naomi. And you'll see why I say that in just a moment. The Bible says in verse, let's just back up for a moment. In verse 21, the Bible tells us, and Ruth the Moab of chapter 2, verse 21, and Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also. Now you remember, Naomi had asked, where have you gleaned? And she tells her who she met. Doesn't tell her what field. She tells her it wasn't about where she gleaned. It was about who she met. And that's really what it comes down to as far as the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ruth is refreshed. She is telling her a story. She tells her all about her day. And Ruth the Moabitess in verse 21 said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest. And here's a picture of grace, not only barley harvest, but also of wheat harvest. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, once again, as we ask just about every time, may he be our teacher, may he be our guide. And Father, may you grow us a little bit more tonight. May you just continue, Father, to do amazing things like you always have in our lives. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. Preparing for the Redeemer. As we see in this passage of Scripture, as we've already noted, that Boaz was a near kinsman. He was someone who could be a redeemer to Naomi, to her family, to Ruth in this passage. He would be, now in the context of a redeemer, being a kinsman redeemer, there were three requirements by law that had to be in the context in order for someone to be a kinsman redeemer. The first thing was, simply, pretty much, hopefully, understood, they had to be near kin, they had to be related. In order for someone to be a redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, they had to be related, they had to be near kin. The second thing was that individual had to be able, he had to have the resources and be able to pay the price to redeem. And the third thing was, it may seem similar, but just listen to it for a moment. So he had to be near of kin, he had to be able to pay, but the third thing, which is very important, he had to be willing to pay. Now, if you can imagine in your mind just for a moment, in the context of our redemption and why Boaz is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, think with me for a moment. Our Redeemer, he had to be near of kin to us. Well, what do we know about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Philippians, he took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, Paul said, paraphrasing the passage in Philippians 2. I don't want to misquote it. But he became obedient, Paul said, unto death, even the death of the cross. We know, according to Jesus, as far as we know about Jesus Christ, that he is the second Adam. In the first Adam, which we have inherited, that sinful nature by our great, great, and you fill in the greats, grandfather Adam, and because of that sinful nature, we need a redeemer. Now, I will say this to bring clarification to this. Somebody said, well, do we go to hell because of Adam's sin? No, you do not. You do not. No one dies and goes to hell because of Adam's sin. They die and go to hell because of their sin. And that's important that you need to understand that. But the good news is no one has to. Amen. Let's finish that thought on a good note. Nobody has to die and go to hell when they die. They can repent of their sin, believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, for asking God to forgive you of sin, place your faith and trust in the gospel, the death, burial, the resurrection of Christ, that message, and the man Jesus, and he will save you. He'll forgive you. The Bible, that's why Peter told us about redemption in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, and then he listed them. You know, the silver, gold, you know, vain conversation from your fathers. He said, you redeemed. Remember what he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, I think it was. He said, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Very significant. The Redeemer had to be near of kin, Jesus says. He also had to be able to pay. So when we think about Jesus Christ, this is all introduction. We'll see how far we get with this sermon tonight. But it just really shouts Jesus, this story of Ruth and this redemption story, as Ruth now is preparing herself for the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was near of kin. He was absolutely able to pay. Jesus, you know what's great about Jesus? He is able. He has the resources to take you to heaven. He has the resources to forgive you of your sin. That's why we often say, and I've preached a million times perhaps, that Jesus Christ, he has the resources. But here's the thing you need to understand. He has the resources to pay your sin debt. But here's the good thought. You and I do not have the resources. We can't save ourselves. Amen? We can't live a good enough life. And I'll be honest with you, it baffles me. It really sincerely does. It really kind of puzzles me that anyone would try to go to heaven without Jesus. You can't go to heaven without Jesus. Amen? He's not only the door, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the only way a person can find forgiveness of their sin and go to heaven when they die. So he was near of kin of us. He had to be able to pay it. We know that he was able to pay it. Boaz is able to pay it. But the third thing, which was important, he had to be willing to do it. He had to be willing to redeem. So when we look at Jesus, he was willing, amen? He became obedient, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, remember what Hebrews says? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus Christ was willing to pay. And here's the good news. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, please hear my heart and hear the message of the Bible, the entire theme of the Bible. Jesus Christ, he is willing to forgive you of your sin and save your soul. He'll save you. He'll change your life. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing Redeemer. So Ruth, in this passage of Scripture, let's just dig in for a few minutes. And let's see a little bit about, as we're preparing for the Redeemer. Boaz, Naomi says in the earlier verses of chapter 2, he's a near kinsman of us. Now, I don't think, as I said the other time we preached on this, I don't think Ruth really got a hold of what that redemption meant. I don't think she really got a hold of what Naomi said in the earlier chapter there of chapter 2 in verse 21, 22 through 23. I don't think Ruth grasped the understanding of who he was. But Naomi, Naomi knew who he was. See, she had been blessed, as a Israelite, as a Jew. She was of God's chosen people. She understood. Listen, Naomi understood who she belonged to. Now she came back from Moab bitter. You remember that? She said the ladies came out to see her. When they saw her come back, they hadn't seen her probably in 10 years. And the ladies run out and they're like, oh, it's Naomi. It's pleasant. That's what her name meant, pleasant. But Naomi says, don't call me pleasant in chapter 1. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. The Lord, I went out full. The Lord had brought me home again empty. So she's mad at God. She's perhaps even blaming God for her situation. But as the story begins to unfold, and as I said to you a moment ago, Ruth now is going to have an opportunity to be a blessing to this young lady and really have a second chance. And I'm going to show you what I mean by this. She's going to have a second chance, and we don't always get second chances, but by God's grace, sometimes we do. But Ruth now is going to have, or Naomi is going to have a second chance to speak something into the life of Ruth. And I'll show you what I mean by that as we get through this verse, couple of verses. So the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 3, notice first of all the need of her Redeemer. The need of her Redeemer. Naomi tells Ruth that Boaz, he's a near kinsman. He is someone that he's related. He has all the resources. He has, by his very who he is, by the very aspect of who he is, he's qualified. He's qualified to be a redeemer. He's got the resources to be the redeemer, but it all comes down to, will he be willing to be a redeemer? So we're going to dig through this as we go through this. So we see, first of all, the need for her, for her redeemer. The Bible tells us in verse 1, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest? Underline that. Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? The word rest is very interesting in this portion of Scripture, because it's also a word that we find in chapter 1 in the story of Ruth and Naomi. If you will, back up just for a moment, and this kind of sets up the rest of the stuff we're going to look at and why I said that Ruth now, God's given her a second chance to make a difference for God's glory in someone's life. And I tell you, friend, I'm thankful that God often does that in our lives. Amen? Sometimes, I say this even to myself, sometimes we blow it, right? Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we can even find ourselves, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves away from God. And when we're away from God, if we're not careful, friend, we can find ourselves giving bad advice to people that have a need. If you were to back up in chapter 1, and I want you to see this, and I hope the Lord uses this in our hearts tonight, and we'll see how far we get with this sermon. In chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 4, let's just start in verse 4. So they took them wives of the women of Moab, chapter 1, verse 4. The name of the one, Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. So that's the story as we gave you early on. The family now, Elimelech, my God is king was his name. That's what his name meant. Naomi, pleasant. Mahlon, puny. Chilion, pining. Very interesting family, very interesting dynamic, and names are very significant here in the Old Testament. So it kind of gives us a little backdrop what happens. They're in Moab. The two boys marry these two Moabite girls. The Bible goes on, verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Look at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. So you have now in the story, the backdrop now, you have Naomi, the mom, and you have her two daughters-in-law. You have Orpah and you have Ruth. So Naomi, the Bible tells us, she arose and with her daughters-in-law, verse 6, that she might return from the country of Moab. Now you recall that Moab, remember what we said about Moab? Remember what God's word said about Moab? God called Moab his washpot. Literally what that meant was God's garbage can. They were under the curse of Almighty God because of their wickedness, because of what they had done to the God's people, and God had judged them because of that. They were cursed down to the 10th generation, the Bible says in another passage. So Moab was not really a good place for any of God's people to be, but yet they found themselves there. But let's dig through this, and I'll show you why God, she now has an opportunity to give a second chance. We talked about the word rest in chapter 3, verse 1. Let's continue on. And the Bible tells us, verse 6 of chapter 1, for Naomi, she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So even though, and this is God's grace even in verse number 6, even though Moab was God's garbage can, while Naomi was there, she had heard how God had visited his people in giving them bread. Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the house of praise. She had heard how God had visited them. So verse 7 tells us this now. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And look at verse 8. This is where we're going with this. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. Now, notice her advice. And you're going to see in verse 8, this is terrible. This is terrible advice. Why is it? Well, look at the text. She says to both Orpah and Ruth, go, verse 8, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Look at verse 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest. Look at this now. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. What is she telling them to do? Naomi is telling these two girls, go back to Moab. Go back to your family. Go back. There's nothing I can do for you. I'm too old. I can't bear children and let them raise up and get grown to redeem you. I can't do it. So you just go back. You know, that's terrible advice. When you look at the context of this verse, in this aspect, Moab, a place that was cursed by God, it was a place, if you will, without God. I'm now I'm very careful in saying that because we know God is everywhere. But it was a place filled with idolatry. It was a place filled with wickedness. It wasn't the place of bread and praise of God. It wasn't the place of God's people. It wasn't a place where really any of God's people should have been. But yet Naomi is now telling them, you go back and I'm going to pray the Lord gives you rest. Listen, friend, you're not going to find rest in the world. Amen? It's terrible advice. That's terrible advice for Naomi to say that to her two daughters-in-law. This was a place Naomi first suggested that Ruth seek rest. It was advice that was distorted. Boy, is that not what happens sometimes with God's people when they get away from the Lord, when they get out of fellowship with God, when their heart gets cold to the things of God? We can get bitter. We can get our mind begins to just gets distorted in our views. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean by that. I know sometimes I've met Christian people who I really truly believe are born again. I've met people who by their own lips have testified, yes, I know Christ is my Savior. But yet because of getting away from God, now they have very distorted views of what, listen, stay engaged with me, of what they used to believe was wrong. Wow. It's amazing to me. I talk to a lot of people. It's amazing to me. You talk to some Christian people. Well, preacher, you preach all the time how hard it is. You preach hard against, you know, homosexuality and how homosexuality is a sin. And I know Christian people that will sometimes say, well, is it really that bad? Yeah, it is bad. Well, preacher, you preach about people living together as opposed to being married. You preach against, you know, those type of sexual sins. When I'm little kids in here. You preach against sex before marriage. Is it really that big of a deal? Yes, it's a big deal. It most definitely is. God condemns it. Amen? God condemns it. So you say, preacher, what's your point? The point I'm trying to make is Naomi, she's giving bad advice to this young girl. She's giving horrible advice to this young girl. Why? Because her heart isn't where it needs to be with the Lord. But we see her, so her advice in this chapter 1 was distorted. It was deceptive. She says to him, the Lord, that you may find rest. They're not going to find rest in Moab. There's no way they'll find rest in Moab. So it's distorted. It's deceptive. It's dismal. There's no hope. There's no hope there. But you now come to chapter 3, verse 1, and the Bible says, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? What does Naomi know about Ruth? She needs a redeemer. And you know what I love about this chapter in chapter 3? We've given you a lot of doom and gloom just for the last couple of minutes. What I love about chapter 3 is this. Naomi now, this is awesome. She's going to be used of God to change this young girl's life forever. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you grateful to God for second chances? Aren't you really? Aren't we grateful to God for second chances? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can find ourselves giving advice that's absolutely unbiblical. That is absolutely wrong theologically. But yet sometimes we see God in his mercy and his grace gives us another opportunity to make a difference for somebody else's life. You know what I love about Naomi as well? Naomi realized and learned a very important principle in life. That Jesus first, remember, you know this, right? Paul wrote about it in Philippians. The theme of Philippians is joy. I don't know who it was. It was Dr. Wiersbe who originally came up with this. But he says, joy. Jesus first, others second, and you third. Boy, that's a secret. That's a good formula. Have Jesus first. You want to have real joy in your life? Have Jesus first in your life. Put others first. Put others second outside of Christ. You have Christ first, then others. Live your life. What a thought. Live your life to serve other people. Now, here's an interesting concept of this. When I look at the Bible, that's exactly what Jesus did, right? He came to do the will of his Father. But then what did he do after that? He came to serve. Not be served, but to serve. Who did he come to serve? You and I. Wow. What a thought. So Naomi, we see the need of her Redeemer. Naomi says, my daughter shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. Verse 2, now is not Boaz of our kindred. She's now going to be used of God. She has an opportunity now to make a difference, literally, for God's kingdom. She has an opportunity of God. God's given Naomi and I a second chance. It's interesting how the Lord took this sermon. I wasn't going that direction, but God's taking it this way. But it's interesting because Naomi now has an opportunity to put Christ first. Yes, she's gotten her heart right because now she's not focused on her bitterness of soul and being mad at God. She's now focused on somebody else. May would to God that we all have this type of spirit. So Naomi says in verse 2, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So we saw the need of her Redeemer, but notice the name of her Redeemer. His name is Boaz. Naomi says to Ruth, Boaz. You're going to hear, and here's what's great about these chapters, these next couple of chapters. You see and you hear the name of Boaz mentioned a lot. And ladies and gentlemen, in the context of redemption, you hear the name of Jesus mentioned a lot. Can I get a witness? In the context of redemption, we couldn't save ourselves. It's impossible for us to save ourselves. We needed a Redeemer. And the good news is, we needed somebody who was of near kin to us. We needed somebody that had the ability and the resources to redeem us. But we also needed somebody who was willing to do it. So Naomi tells her, Boaz, his name is Boaz. All the beauty of his name. Think with me just for a moment, all that Boaz had done for Ruth up to this point. He had provided for her. He had watched out for her. You remember in chapter 2? They're in chapter 2. The Bible tells us, let's just back up and look at it again. In chapter 2, verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither from hence go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged? So she not only found provision, you know, she got her belly full. You know, she got her belly full, as you'll see as you read through this chapter, and we've already looked at this. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? She not only found provision, she found protection because of Boaz. All the beauty of his name. She found protection. She says she found satisfaction in the name of Boaz. He tells her, when you get thirsty, you drink of that the young men have drawn in verse 9. And then you go on down through this, and she's sitting at Boaz's table, and he, remember this story? He reaches her parched corn. Can you imagine? Here is a Moabite girl. Here is a young girl who is an outcast to their culture, an outcast to their even religion, if you will, and yet she's now included. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing you could say about that, that's grace, man. That's grace. You know, here's the thing about heaven. Other than Jesus now, he's the only one that deserves to be there. Jesus is the only one that deserves, outside, none of us, listen, none of us, in heaven, stay with me now, none of us, when we go to heaven, none of us will be there because we deserve to be there. None of us deserve to be there. But because of grace and mercy, we'll be there. None of us will be able to look at Jesus and say, you know what? Boy, I'm so glad I lived a good enough life to make it here. Oh, I'm so glad I was baptized so that I could get here. Oh, I'm so glad I was a church member so that I could get to heaven. No, no, no. I think we'll have the same position as Ruth did when she realized who Boaz was and what he did for her. We'll fall flat on our face before him and we'll acknowledge to God be the glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord. I don't deserve. Can you imagine heaven? You ever tried to imagine heaven in your mind and what it must be like? We have a lot of loved ones and friends that have died in Christ that are there right now. But I'm 42 years young. I try to be anyway. 42 years old, and I can't sometimes wrap my mind around how awesome heaven's going to be. But here's one thing I do know. Even though my mind sometimes can't allow me to grasp it, here's one thing I do know. Jesus is going to be there. Stay with me. Jesus will be there, and I will be there because of Jesus. Wow, what a thought. So we see Naomi. She gives her advice. The name of her Redeemer, his name is Boaz. She doesn't know all the ins and outs of who he is and what he has. All she knows is Naomi now is encouraging her. Naomi, boy, she's a soul winner, really. It's a beautiful picture of a soul winner. She's concerned for this girl. She's concerned for Ruth because Ruth can't redeem herself. Ruth can't redeem herself as much as we would hope she could. It's impossible for her to redeem herself. So Naomi knows this. So Naomi gets interested in her. She gets interested in the welfare of her, and she gets interested in her future. She needs to be redeemed. Naomi can't redeem her. Somebody else has to. So the beauty of his name, we see the bounty of his name, Boaz, as we've already given it to you. I want to read these verses, and we'll talk more about them next week. But let's just read this story and let it unfold. And I want you to chew on it this week, and we'll just kind of exposit it next Wednesday night. So she's preparing to meet her Redeemer. Verse 2 says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor." The threshing floor was very significant in the life and nation of Israel. And it's just so that's where Boaz is. Look what Naomi says to her. "Wash thyself," verse 3. "Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place." Thou shalt mark the place. The word "mark" there meant be acquainted with. It literally means to know, get to know. Mark the place. Get to know, get acquainted, she says in verse 4, "the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, it's interesting in verse 4, and there's a lot of custom there. There's a lot of Jewish custom that we'll dig into next Wednesday night and hopefully bring some clarity to this. It's interesting of where Naomi says to go to him, go to the feet. Look at that now. "Uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Verse 5. "And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Wow. She's submissive. "And she went down," verse 6, "unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? He's startled in the night. "No, man, somebody's at his feet. Who is this person?" Look at verse 8. "He turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet." Verse 9. "And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, look at verse 10. Remember what we said? A kinsman redeemer had to be able. He had to be near of kin. He had to be able to pay. But the third thing was, he had to be willing. She says to him, "You're my near kinsman." You're my near kinsman. She prepared herself for it. "You're my near kinsman." So what is he going to do? And he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." Now, one thing to be careful of when you see these first few verses, be careful of reading something immoral into this story. Because I'm going to show you, there was nothing improper, there was no impropriety in this story, and I'll show you biblically why I say that. Boaz says to her, "Blessed be," verse 10, Be thou of the Lord my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requested. She was requesting, she was asking him to be her redeemer. Yes, he had the resources. Yes, he was near kin. Yes, he had everything that was necessary. All she had to do was ask. All she had to do was ask for it. You know what's great about salvation? Jesus makes it available. All you have to do is ask. It's a free gift. He offers it. You receive it. You accept it. And the Bible says in verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people." Look at this now. All the city, Boaz says, "All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Wow. Boaz understood who she was. What a beautiful story of redemption. I love the story, and I love the book of Ruth, because really what you see in the book of Ruth, I hope you see yourself. I hope you see your Savior, but friend, I also hope you see yourself. You and I were lost. We were undone. We were without God. We were on our way to hell, and sadly, truthfully, we were on our way to hell and deserving every minute of that. But the good news about Jesus, he went to a cross 2,000 years ago. He was near kin to us. He was the second Adam. He was near kin of us. He had the resources to redeem you. He has the resources to redeem you tonight. And the good news was, he was willing. Remember what Boaz said to Ruth? "All that thou requirest will I do. All that you've requested of me, yes, I'm your kinsman. All that you've requested of me, I'll do that for you." You know what's great about Jesus? All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. He'll change your life forever. He will forgive you of your sins. You know, I love Wednesday night service. You say, "Preacher, yeah, but on Wednesday night service, it's a smaller crowd in the sanctuary. Doesn't seem like anybody's here." No, there's a lot of people here. You don't see them because they're working in other areas of the building and kids running all over. And there's, what is there, probably 4,000 people here tonight, guys? 140,000 people. No, there's quite a bit of people here. But see, preacher, what's significance? I love Wednesday night service because you realize it was a Wednesday night service that I gave my life to Christ in 1988. July 6th, 19, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. God saved me, forgave me my sins. Why? Because I asked him. I saw my preacher. Listen, what I love about Brother Morton, he lifted him up where he needed to be. My preacher lifted him up. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." He lifted up Jesus. The Lord Jesus showed me my need. That's what's so great. I've said before that the hard thing in winning people to Christ, and of course we don't save, but just track with me for a minute on this. The hard thing in getting people to trust Christ their Savior is, first of all, getting them to realize how lost and undone they are. They need Jesus. You and I need Jesus more than our next breath. And I love the fact that my preacher, man, he lifted up Christ. He put him up here where he belonged. And you know what? I saw him for who he was. For the first time in my life, I saw him for who he was. He was my Redeemer. He would be my Redeemer. If I would repent of my sin, I'd call upon him to be my Savior. He would save me. He would change my life. And right there in my pew, I bowed my heart and said to God, I said, "God, I know I'm a sinner." And I said, "God, I know I deserve hell." You say, "Preacher, you said that?" Yes, I did. I said, "God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve hell." I said, "But God, but for the first time in my life, I honestly understand that what you did on the cross of Calvary, you did for me." Amen? You did it for me. And God, I'm asking you, please forgive me my sins. Please save me. Believe in that gospel. I believe the death, burial, and resurrection. He did it for me. You know what? Ruth was glad. Ruth was happy. As you see this story unfold, we're going to end. It starts with three funerals. It starts in chapter 1. It ends with three funerals. It'll end with a beautiful birth of a baby. It's an amazing story. A beautiful way. Beautiful, beautiful story of redemption. And ladies and gentlemen, when you think about the beauty of redemption, where would we be? Where would we be tonight had there not been redemption? Oh, I tell you, we'd be hopeless. We'd be helpless. We'd be like a lot of people, and even in our world today. You say, "Preacher, you look in our culture, there's even those sad, tragic of 12 people killed in Paris today." And you say, "Preacher, what's going to change our world?" I'll tell you what's going to change our world. I'll tell you who's going to change our world. Jesus Christ. You get people saved, he changes people. He changes. He changes their whole existence. He changed my life. He changed many of the lives in this room. Here tonight, if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ your Savior, sweet friend, I introduce him. Hopefully and prayerfully, we've lifted him up here tonight. We've exalted him. We've lifted him up where he deserves and where he belongs. Now tonight, will you repent? Will you trust him? I pray that you will. Maybe tonight you've been trusting too long in other things. Hey, if you trust Jesus, he'll save you. He'll forgive you, man. I promise you. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever done, every sin you could ever commit. He'll forgive you of that. So let's stand. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. Maybe the Lord's touched your heart. We give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe here tonight, say, preacher, I know I've got some. You said about Naomi and how God had given her a second chance to now make a difference in somebody's life. Maybe that's your heart tonight. Maybe God's given you a second chance to make a difference. Maybe you look back over your life and you think, man, I've given some bad advice when I've been in my backslidden conditions. I've given some bad advice. Maybe God has allowed you now to give some good advice. Maybe just like to come to the altar. I don't know what the Lord may be doing. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray and ask the Lord to whatever God's dealt with your heart about. Maybe you'd like to pray for someone else. Maybe you're trying to do as Naomi, get them to a redeemer. Maybe that's your heart. Pray for them. You come as we sing. Brother Brian, what's your number?
310.
You come as we sing. 310.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Singing tonight. Don't forget, those of you that are going to the Piston game this Saturday, six in a row, they've won. So they're winning, and it'll be a good game this Saturday. Don't forget, if you're signed up, you would have probably already paid by now, but you know the details there. See the Welcome Center out back for that. Also, don't forget, if you are if you'd like to come and watch our EMBC Basketball League, that starts the 16th now. That's a Friday night, the 16th. We'll have the time for you, but most games will be about 8 o'clock. 7 or 8 o'clock, so depending on the Faith Christian School's varsity basketball team. So that's that. And then there's one other thing I wanted to say, and I'm trying to remember it. More details will be to follow, too, also with the dinner for the lunch for the veterans. And if you'd like to help out in any way with that, please see the Welcome Center for that. And I think that's it. I can't think of anything else. There was one thing, but I'm forgetting it. So, Brother Randy. Please close us in a word of prayer.